Welcome to the India FinTech Diaries, the only podcast focused exclusively on the Indian FinTech market. I'm Elroy.
And I'm Hemant. In each episode, we dive into the latest trends, ideas, innovations, business models, and personalities that are shaping India's FinTech landscape.
We also invite amazing guests who are innovators and industry players that are driving the change that is helping make financial services more modern, innovative, and inclusive in India. Come join us as we explore the changing landscape of FinTech in India.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to India FinTech Diaries. I am Hemant Kshirsagar, and I'm joined by my co-host, Elroy. How are you doing, Elroy?
I'm doing great, Hemant. This week, we continue in our series on crypto and put focus on exchanges. So what are digital asset exchanges? How do they work? What's their business model? To answer these questions, we're joined by Ashish Singhal, CEO and co-founder of CoinSwitch Kuber, India's fastest growing and, dare I say, the biggest crypto asset exchange. Welcome to the show, Ashish, and congrats on a recent fundraise that valued you at $1.9 billion.
Thanks, Elroy and Hemant, for inviting me.
Ashish, this year has been a fabulous year for digital assets, hasn't it? First up, Bitcoin, Ethereum touched their all-time highs this year, and then the NFT craze just helped drive this even further. So it must be a fabulous time to be in the digital asset business. But first off, I must say CoinSwitch Kuber is such an interesting name. What's the story behind it?
So CoinSwitch Kuber originated, so we are an old company. We are a 2017 company, started crypto to crypto business for the global world, came back to India in March 2020. We thought of launching in India when the RBI ban got reverted. And why the name Kuber is because Kuber in the Indian mythology is the god of money. That's but his story kind of resonates with how blockchain and crypto has have moved across years, right? Kuber used to be, among the Rakshas category in the Indian mythology and not a god when he started. But through his works, he got promoted or he got evolved to a god status. And that's what we believe crypto has come to be, right? Crypto was thought of some evil when it started, only used for bad activities. And over time, it has evolved to be the cause for the good, right? So we thought that the story kind of resonates in a way, and that's why we chose the name Kuber.
Understood. That's a very interesting and different way to name your company. Ashish, also we were researching before this episode and I came to know that actually earlier you used to be a tailor. You were running an organization called Urban Tailor. Now from that to the wonderful world of blockchain and starting CoinSwitch Kuber, that must be have been an interesting turn of events. Tell us more about it.
So we started Urban Tailor, thought of, revolutionizing tailoring or a fit clothing through tech. Right. And I come from the background of Amazon, built a lot of their, softline business and thought that this could be the new way of revolutionizing Uber for tailors in India. But we kind of couldn't solve the problem well enough. At that time, the technology wasn't there to be able to create well-stitched clothes in a perfect manner and kind of ran into some quality issues along the way and couldn't kind of create a platform itself, a tech platform itself, which would solve the problem, right? And that is why we shut that down. Then I joined Livspace for a year. Then I started CoinSwitch back in 2017.
Interesting. And Ashish, I think that problem still is out in the open. I think getting a well-stitched cloth is still a problem. But moving on to digital asset exchange, Ashish, still a lot of people are very new to this and they really do not understand how a digital asset exchange works. Can you give us a brief overview of how a digital asset exchange actually works? What are some of the technical complexities and what are the different varieties or types of digital asset exchanges?
Sure. I think primarily there are two exchanges that exist today. One is a direct exchange where a buyer and seller meets and exchange their digital assets. So say if you're selling one Bitcoin, some user wants to buy one Bitcoin and as an exchange, you connect both of them to enable the exchange. The second type is something like us, which are an exchange aggregator. What we do is since the liquidity of exchanges is spread across, these buyers and sellers are spread across, we create a bridge to connect buyers and sellers onto other platforms as well. So think of us like a Gro or a Zerodha, which is a broker acting on the liquidity of NSE and BSE and enabling users to trade in cryptocurrencies.
Got it. Got it. How exactly is it very different from the equities exchange? What are the key differences between those two?
I think it almost the same because the only difference is that in an equity exchange, there are three main components, right? NSC, BSE, mm-hmm. which is right. your exchange, which is your liquidity provider. Then there is NSDL, CSDL, which is your depository, where your stocks actually resides and held. And third right. is the broker, which enables you to buy and sell through NSC, BSE, and then pass it on the information to NSDL, CSDL for the storage of your stocks. In a crypto exchange, all three need to be built by an exchange itself. The matching engine, the security and, you know, holding of your assets. And third is creating algorithms to match both of the buyers and sellers together, right? So it acts as a broker, it acts as an exchange, and it acts as a depository as well.
Understood. Very clear. And how does the business model for a digital asset exchange work? I mean, what are the different revenue line items that would go for a digital asset exchange?
Mostly it's a commission income. So because you are enabling buyers and sellers to meet, so you charge a commission on top of that exchange.
So Ashish, when I think we talk about digital assets, the topic that typically comes up is of security. And unfortunately, for better or worse, digital asset exchanges have often been very notorious for security breaches. Like if you look at Mt. Gox in 2014, that resulted in loss of about $450 million, or closer home when CoinSecure lost about 3 million or 20 crore of Bitcoin in 2018. What is your opinion on what exchanges can do to safeguard investor funds?
So for any exchange, and you know, let me share some data point where 56% of exchanges worldwide have shut down because of some security flaw or security hack, right?
Right.
So security yeah. becomes the key aspect for any exchange to function. We today, you know, have an amazing security team in-house, work with some of the best security teams outside around the world, helping us secure our platform and helping us give security to the custody of these crypto assets that are held with us.
And Ashish, what's your take on the current craze around tokens? If you just see the recent news, right, just a couple of days back, the hit Netflix series Squid Game actually inspired a token that has surged a humongous 2,400% in 24 hours. So what's your view on these kind of new tokens that keep coming up? What's their place in the whole digital asset exchange space?
I think if a token is serving a use case, which right. is important to build a network, then I feel that there is a value. There might be a lot of tokens which are coming out, which might be just, you know, because of popularities of some shows or, right. or some things, which may not end up holding value in itself. So how we look at tokens is, does it add value to the ecosystem itself? Does it actually solves a use case because of which it has value? So what is the underlying basis of that currency, of that cryptocurrency, is what we look out for. Who is the team behind it? Who are the promoters right. of it? Who are the backers of it? You know, and what is the use case they are trying to solve? How far along they are in solving that use case, and how their technology has built over time, how secure it is. So these are multiple factors that we particularly look at before we either add these token to our exchange or allow users to invest in them, right? So as a user, you should also look out. There might be a lot of things happening outside which might not be so, you know, credible from the investment point of view. So user has to do these research before he tries to invest in any of the cryptocurrencies.
And what's a typical process for, say, adding a new token to an exchange? Can you walk us through the high-level steps over there?
Sure. So the high-level steps is just what I mentioned, right? Look at the team, promoter, security, right. Utility of that token, adoption, how many exchanges are supporting it, and various other factors which you know, we have collated and created an internal policy on that. Obviously, right. you know, that's an internal policy, and I cannot disclose a lot of details out because
So now we've taken a very high level look at the fundamentals of a digital asset exchange business. Now let's spend a little time specifically on CoinSwitch Kuber, right? So you launched CoinSwitch Kuber in 2020 in India in the middle of the pandemic. Talk to us about your growth story and share with us some numbers on the traction you've seen so far.
Sure. So, you know, let me tell you the story behind Kuber and then we'll come to the growth part of it. So when in March the RBI ban got reverted, and when we looked into the market, we realized that there were a lot of exchanges out there, but the user experience was very complicated, complicated graphs, complicated order books, which makes it harder for people to get into crypto. People who are used to the experience of, say, Swiggy, you know, add to cart checkout, food is at your home, one-click cab booking or online ordering, were forced to go to an exchange to get into crypto. First, crypto is so complex. Now you put that experience on top of it. It becomes very hard for those users to adopt this new tech, right? And that's right. Where we launched CoinSwitch Kuber, simplifying the way people buy and sell crypto with a click of a button. We launched in June 2020. And you know, in the last 17 months, we have grown to over 12 million users, one of the fastest fintech company to ever reach that mark in India in such a short time. You know, funded by the likes of Andreessen Horowitz, their first India investment, Coinbase, Ribbit, Paradigm, Tiger, and Sequoia. And how we look toward the future is that today we are a crypto exchange, but tomorrow we want to add other asset classes onto our platform and help users diversify their holdings as well. So from a crypto-only platform to a crypto-first platform is the journey that we are taking.
Interesting. And what's the profile of a typical customer? And also, how have you seen the digital asset adoption increase in India, Ashish?
Sure. So digital adoption in India is, you know, worldwide is at number two, right? It's growing at an amazing, amazing pace. You can see from our growth itself that in just 17 months, have grown to over 12 million users. And 55% of them are coming from tier two and tier three cities, right? Which is very fascinating to see. So it's not only the tier A, the elite who are investing into crypto. The entire India is investing into crypto through CoinSwitch Kuber. We have over 4,000 cities which put their money into crypto through us, right? Typical user is very young on our platform. Most of the users lies in the age of 20 to 28. Average age is about 25, who are, you know, Gen Z population, looking at the internet, learning about crypto from there, and are not behind the West anymore, are learning about this tech as and when the developments are happening in it, and are getting excited about the space and are so investing into cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, from the age range that Ashish just spoke about, Elroy, I think you and me are slightly older folks who are still active in it. So we are like exceptions as far as age ranges are concerned.
It's not an exception. There are obviously, you know, the other asset, you know, people are diversifying their asset class, but this particular Gen Z population is crypto first in investment. 70% of our users have never invested beyond crypto. But over time, they would definitely would diversify into other asset classes as well.
Absolutely, Ashish, and that's required as well. And plus, the other thing is this age bracket that you spoke about is also digital native. So it's slightly different from the age class that I was talking about. And it makes sense that they are the first risk takers. And then from there, they progress. So Ashish, definitely one, the business you're building is complex. Two, the product is complex in itself. The policy environment in India is not the most simplest of the ones. So talk us about some of the other key challenges that you faced while you were building the firm.
So although everything might be complex, but except the product. Product is where, you know, we have got simplicity for the user so that he doesn't have to, you know, get into the complex world on understanding crypto. And with a simple application, he can learn and invest into crypto, starting with just $100. Obviously, running a business, crypto business in India, and you know how the regulatory frameworks are evolving in India is a bit tough. A lot of people, you know, don't understand the nuances of cryptocurrencies, and it becomes harder sometimes to align people on the same page. But what we have seen happening in India, which is very positive, is that regulators have now seem to at least have a Q&A with exchanges, with players like us, to be able to understand what are the nuances of this space, right? And we can now understand what their concerns are and try to address those concerns within CoinSwitch and the crypto community in general, right? So I think we now at a place where, you know, a constant dialogue is happening, and this space is evolving to maybe, you know, a regulated space in the next few years, which is a very positive sign to see.
Of course, Ashish, that's a very welcome initiative from the regulator. And Ashish, if you have to put down, say, three items on your wish list that you would like to see for the policy environment in India for cryptocurrencies to improve, so what are your those like three top items on your wish list? Policy perspective.
I think first is categorization. So how do you categorize cryptocurrencies, right? We all agree that it can't be a currency. It can't replace INR in India. Right. And, you know, that obviously needs to go with the central government itself, but how do you still create a classification for cryptocurrencies, maybe a security similar to stocks, and help people invest and create rules around for user protection, right? Second is obviously, you know, creating policies which help promote the digital ecosystem. And third step is regulating the entire space as well. So these are the three steps that I would say that, you know, we expect to happen in the next few years.
Absolutely. And Ashish, I think we also completely agree with those, because we were having our internal discussion before the session and talking this topic. And I think those are pretty much what we also think about. And from future perspective, anyways, Ashish, you, me, Elroy, all are very excited about this space. But from if we have to crystal gaze a bit, what do you think the road ahead for a digital asset exchange is in India?
I think the future is very bright. It's not just for an exchange, but crypto companies in general, right? Mm-hmm. We always say that the next Google, the next Facebook, the next Twitter would come from India and would be built on blockchain, dominating the world, right? And exchanges become a custodian in basically allowing users to invest in these new budding companies or new problems that are getting solved on blockchain itself, not just in India, but around the world, right? So there is a very bright future that we see a year, 2 years down the line, where not just crypto exchanges are flourishing, but also amazing use cases and amazing companies would be built on blockchain and cryptocurrencies.
Absolutely, Ashish, fingers crossed. And Ashish, there is so much buzz around cryptocurrencies and coins to Kuber. I'm very sure a lot of our listeners want to get in touch with you. What's the best way to do that?
I think the best way is Twitter, or you can email me directly. I know that, you know, it sometimes take me a while to reply back, but I think in that case, Twitter becomes the first, point to reach me.
And also, I think there are contact details for CoinSwitch Kuber as well. So I think the people can also write to that as well.
Absolutely. Writing to our support today, we have 24/7 support helping users across. Our reply rate on a chat is about a minute. So within a minute, you would get your queries resolved at once.
Excellent, Ashish. We'll include those details in the show notes. Thanks a ton, Ashish, for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks, Ayman. Thanks, Elroy.
That's it from India FinTech Diaries for this week. Do log on to our website, indiafintechdiaries.com, for exclusive content. Until next time, stay safe.